Hello again, and welcome back to The Watch Dogs Bark. My name is Drew. I am your host, and I consider myself a watchdog. This is episode 80, and I've chosen a topic that's quite weighty to put in episode 80. I know. Hey, I gotta have something had to rhyme with 80. All right, this episode, I actually want to go back and revisit one of my most popular episodes. I've gotten more comments from episode 2 than I've gotten in almost any other episode that I've released. And that is what has happened to our education system, and especially from kindergarten through 12th, K through 12. And I play a video or audio you hear on the podcast of Yuri Bezmenov warning the U.S. He's a former KGB defector, warning the U.S. of a multi-generational plan to demoralize, desensitize, and destroy the country. So I'm going to play that again. I'm going to play a little bit of what I said back then, and I'm going to expand on it because more is happening right now. I believe more than ever, parents, if you have young children in school and you can afford it, send them to private school. Take them out of public school. Or if you can afford the time constraint and you can afford to, you know, work how hard you need to homeschool them, then I would do that. And I don't say that lightly. I went to public school. But in my day, public schools weren't indoctrination centers. And you didn't have teachers indoctrinating their children. So anyway, listen to what I said back in episode 2, and then I'll expand on that more. Listen to this.
Let's get back into it. Everything going on right now, the craziness in our education system, has been planned. It's a multi-generational plan to demoralize and desensitize our children. The reason why I started looking into this, I watched a video on YouTube of a former Russian KGB agent who defected to the U.S. His name is Yuri Bezmenov. Definitely look it up on YouTube. There's about an hour-long interview where he details everything specifically, but also there's about a 13-minute cut that explains the four-step process to demoralize and desensitize and destroy our country from the inside. As a matter of fact, listen to what he says here.
The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually, it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
Did you hear what he said? When someone is completely demoralized, they won't even recognize the truth if it's right in front of them. Does that sound familiar with a lot of people today?
So now we have a lot of evidence of the dangers that puberty blockers and hormones present to young children because they've never been used this way before, ever. And as Yuri Bezmenov says, all this new truth that's coming out doesn't matter. Those people who believe everything the media told them when all this craziness started and letting five-year-olds choose their sex and deciding that gender dysphoria is hitting young teenage girls, let me tell you something. This is absolute fact. Up until The invention of the internet. Or let's even go more recent than that, social media. Gender dysphoria only occurred in 0.004% of the population. It usually presented itself between the ages of 2 and 4, and it was usually boys, thinking they were girls, and going through that period where they, you know, like dresses, play with dolls, different things like that, okay? 99%, it's even higher than that, 99.9% of the time, those boys grew out of that gender dysphoria. It was just a stage in their development. Gender dysphoria has never, repeat, never manifested in teenage girls until social media. What is happening is young girls and young boys are having depression and going through mental issues. And they go on social media to try and heal themselves. And they watch these other people that have gone through gender dysphoria, supposedly, most likely not. And they've decided to change their sex and they're so much happier. They're so glad they did it. Oh my gosh. And then they decide they want to do that. Well, the real evil, and I do say that with all the gravity I can muster, the real evil that is happening now in our education system is that teachers and administrators and school nurses and even medical professionals are allowing these children to change their sex without their parents' permission. So let's go back to episode 2. When I was talking about this multi-generational plan to demoralize, desensitize, and destroy our country. Listen to what I said back in 2022.
You know, back in the 90s, something was introduced into the education system called Common Core. And I know a lot of parents that have talked to me about their attempt in understanding Common Core and trying to explain it to their children when we were just memorizing times tables and all the numbers and all that, and it would make, you know, math really easy for us. But with Common Core, you have to do 10 and 10 and 10 and 10, and then this is 2 and 2, and this is 4 and 2, and this is, it's just ridiculous. Well, Common Core was introduced not to make things easier. It was actually introduced to make things harder, to discourage children, and, for lack of better words, to dumb down the education system.
One thing I forgot to point out back then was not only was it created to be harder for children and to dumb down the education system, but it was also created so parents could not help their children with their math problems. That has been one of the biggest things that parents have been able to help their children with over many, many decades. Children always like to have their parents help them with math problems. But when they introduced Common Core, it not only made it more difficult for the children to understand, but also was completely foreign to what parents had learned. And so now parents could not help their children with math. All right, now listen to the rest of this.
Was the first step. Then the next step, which happened with the millennials, okay, they were raised with participation medals and no more grades or competition. So that really didn't prepare them at all for life in the real world. And so they went out into the real world and like freaked out because the real world is harsh and there's competition and it's brutal. And they weren't prepared correctly. Well, now we have that generation, the millennials, raising kids. Heaven help us. They're the parents. And they're the leaders And the ones running corporations and the school administrators. So they're the ones now teaching children that they have to have safe spaces and trigger warnings and microaggressions for warning. What? You have to be warned to not be offended? Okay, let's take a little tiny side road here and talk about the Constitution. You know, one of those subjects that's not taught in schools anymore. And particularly the Bill of Rights. Let's talk about the First Amendment. The First Amendment protects your right to free speech. It does not protect your right to not be offended. It is my belief that to have true freedom of speech, you must be willing to defend what is being said that you vehemently disagree with the same vigor that you would defend someone that says something that you 100% agree with. That is true free speech. Any censorship that starts to happen takes away free speech. And a lot of people say, well, how about, you know, the things that are offensive and that are, you know, inciting violence and stuff like that. Unless it's specifically saying and targeting individuals with specific forms of violence, that is protected speech. Okay? And once you start censoring that, that's when free speech dies. Because who determines what's hate speech? Who determines what's offensive? When each new administration gets into leadership positions, do they then get to determine what is hate speech? And if it's completely diametrically opposed to what the previous administration determined was free speech, then what happens? See, this is a very slippery slope when we go down this censorship. And once you start, it becomes a free-for-all. So we must protect free speech. And yes, that means the things that would even offend you. Remember in my last episode at the very end when I said you have to choose to be offended? It's true. You cannot give offense. You have to take offense. Think about that. All right, now, sadly, some of the millennials now have kids that are in school, and they are being bombarded with complete crap, in my opinion. Critical race theory, which teaches children if you are born with a white skin, you are an oppressor. You don't have any choice. It doesn't matter how your parents raised you. You are an oppressor. And you should feel guilty and shame for being born white. And if you are born with a black skin, you may as well not even try because the system is stacked against you. So why even put in the effort? What a bunch of horse crap. To raise children to either feel guilty for one color of skin or to give up and not even try if you have another color skin? That's ridiculous. And really only being taught to children to divide them. Then we have gender theory. And things are so screwed up today in classrooms. You have children identifying as furries. Those are children who identify as animals. They're meowing in class. They're eating out of their food out of bowls. They're using litter boxes. I mean, we have gone completely insane. Remember when we were kids and we said, I want to be a dog. I want to be a dinosaur. I want to do that. Parents are going, oh, really? Okay, we'll raise you like that from now on. What would you like to be called? Spot? Petunia? What do you want to be called? You know, this is ridiculous. We have children being raised by children who don't understand that parents need to be the adults. Parents need to be the disciplinarians. It's proven over and over and over again that if a child is raised with discipline and standards, they grow up to be much more productive members of society. These children that are identifying as furries right now, and boys identifying as girls when they're 5 or 6 or 7, they're not going to grow up to be productive members of society. That's going to be their sole purpose. Their sole focus is their identity.
All right. So even back then, back in 2022, I was very aware of what was going on. Now I have discovered it is much more sinister, much more evil. And yes, I do say that word and mean it specifically. It is pure evil what is happening in our classrooms right now. We have these sweet-speaking teachers that are telling people that they're putting the pride flag in their kindergarten and first grade classes to show their tolerance and their accepting of everyone. Well, listen to what a member of the Gays Against Groomers, her name is Becky Weiss. I follow her on Instagram, and I would suggest you do the same. She's a lesbian woman that is basically defending the or speaking out against the LGBTQIA+ community that is grooming children. Putting a pride flag in your classroom sends a much different message than you know. Listen to this.
Let you know, this page supports LGBTQ+ people and their rights. If you are against that,
listen up, Buttercup. There is a difference between supporting LGBTQ rights and indoctrinating children, okay? Let's educate on this. Supporting LGBTQ rights means that you simply agree that we deserve the same rights as everyone else, which we do. Filling your classroom with gay propaganda is not supporting LGBTQ rights, that is grooming children. Like, I'm gay, and I would not let my son in a classroom that has a pride flag on the wall. Why, you ask? Because that flag represents sex. It is about sexuality. It's not a love is love. It's about who you want to sleep with. That's a really weird thing to want to hang in a classroom for children. So anyways, that's indoctrination, not support of our rights.
She is 100% correct. And this sweet little innocent teacher who has a pride flag on her wall and is wearing pride clothing and has rainbow makeup across her face. And she says, if you don't support LGBTQIA+ rights, get out. Okay. What Becky Weiss said is exactly right. When you put that flag on your kindergarten or first or second or third or even fourth graders' walls, you are basically saying, not that you support everyone, but that you want to know, you want them to know about sexuality. Because that pride flag represents who you want to sleep with, who you are attracted to. That is it. The pride flag does not say to everyone that, you know, we're supportive of this and that it we need to, you know, support each other. As adults, yes. It would. But as children, all they know is it's that pretty rainbow flag. And then the teachers want them to know about their sexuality and their gender. If you are a teacher trying to teach children about sex, you're a groomer. If you are a teacher, administrator, or doctor trying to teach a child that they were born in the wrong body and that they should change their gender, you're a groomer. In my book, the people that are indoctrinating children this way are no better than pedophiles, no better than child pornography trackers, because you are trying to sexualize young children. And the worst thing about it, those teachers that are doing it with their good intentions are the ones who have a mental illness that they need 7, 6, 7, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds to affirm their identities. So they call them Mix Johnson or Mix something or other. And kids are expected to know this. Kids are expected to call their teachers they and them with pronouns, when at the same time, a few years later, they're going to learn proper grammar. Proper grammar, you don't have they represent a single person. But does the LGBTQIA+ community care about that? No. No, they don't care whether you like it or not. They are purposefully trying to make you go along with their fantasies. And, you know, I have many lesbian and gay friends, and I 100% support them. But most of them I've talked to do not support teaching children about sexuality. That should be done by the parents, period. I remember when I wanted to learn, when I prompted my parents to teach me about sexuality, I think I was about 10 or 11, something like that. And I came home and one of my friends on the schoolyard said to me, "Your parents had to screw to have you." And I'm like, what? You know, that was just mind-boggling to me. What do you mean? So at dinner that night, we were sitting at the dinner table and we always talked about, you know, our days at the dinner table. And I had a question for mom and dad. I said, "Hey, so-and-so said that you guys had to screw to have me. Is that right?" Well, I think mom dropped something and my father's eyes got as big as saucers and he excused himself from the table right then, went right down to our local library and checked out a whole bunch of film strips and cassette tapes. And yes, that's how long ago it was. It was cassette tapes. And we went and when I was visiting with mom after dinner and or watching a TV show or something like that, my dad's like, "Hey, Drew, do you want to come with me for a sec?" Okay. We went down to dad's office and closed the door and put up that screen and up come those film strips of how I will develop and how babies are made and all this stuff. And you know, when we got through with this, the funny thing about this whole experience was, well, the second funniest thing is, so I turned to my dad, I said, "Oh, so you and mom did screw to have me." My dad's like, "Well, you know, we call it intercourse, but yes, you know, basically." So, and then the really funniest thing was, my friend, the next day I went to school and my friend was saying, "Yeah, your parents screwed to have you." I said, "Yeah, you're right. Yep, my parents taught me that." And he's like, "What?" And then he went home and my dad called his father and said, "Hey, do you want to borrow my film strips and cassette tapes so you could teach him about it too?" So anyway, that's where this sexuality should be taught, in the privacy of a home between parents and their children. We should not have these grooming teachers that are taking it upon themselves to teach children about sexuality and sex at ages they're way too young to understand. I mean, I was barely able to understand it at 10 years old. Imagine teachers trying to teach children about sexuality and sexual organs and sex acts and it being in their reading materials, in their school libraries, of describing oral sex and anal sex. I mean, it's insane what they are allowing in the schools. And I want to go back again to what Yuri Bezmenov says, that this is a multi-generational plan to demoralize and desensitize children. Because when children are demoralized, they cannot tell what is right and wrong. They have no morals attached to their decision making. They have no conscience attached to their decision making. So they don't care what's right or wrong anymore. And we see evidence of this today. How many fights are all over social media of these giant groups of kids beating the crap out of someone? I saw a video the other day of a group of girls, teenage girls, that were beating up on a girl that was autistic. They were beating up on a girl that was autistic and just smacking the heck out of her and then walking out of the class arrogant with little grins on their faces. And the teacher comes up and because this poor student, that's the autistic student, was just shocked, could not move, was shaking. She was so upset and just couldn't even get to tears. It was beyond. I don't know if you've ever gotten to the point where you're so shocked at what happened. You're numb. That's what she was. This poor girl was shaking head to toe and numb. Those kids should be put in juvenile detention, in my opinion. And this is happening more and more because children don't know what's right and wrong anymore. Parents are not teaching their children right and wrong. They're letting the schools do it. And schools now have an agenda of what to teach children. Because, as I said in that first episode or that second episode when I was talking about this topic, this is on purpose. This is to break down those pillars of strength that children have when they're being raised. Nuclear families, religion, discipline, standards, morals, and strong parental support. All of those things are being broken down in society today because, as Vladimir Lenin said, and I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, and I want you to listen really closely to the words. Vladimir Lenin said, "Give me a child for 8 years, and they will be a Bolshevik for life." That's what's happening in our education system. Children are being indoctrinated and sexualized and turned against their own parents because the state wants to raise them. And the state schools, the public schools, want to raise your children. They want to raise them to have no morals and no values, but that which the state has told them to adopt. There are people in this country, teachers, administrators, medical doctors, politicians, who want communism. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but I have now more evidence than I ever thought I needed. That there are people in this country trying to destroy our country, and they have found out the easiest way to do that is through your children. And once again, listen to Becky Weiss talking about how the LGBTQIA+ movement is really now discriminating against the gay and lesbians. They are really wanting everyone to be trans and a derivative of trans. Listen to this insanity.
"Everyone should be trans. Say, I told you so, but they want to get rid of regular gay and lesbians now because being gay or lesbian is racist and everyone should be trans now. The organization GLAAD, which is a trans activist organization, is now saying that being gay or lesbian is just a subcategory of being trans. They removed biological sex from the equation and replaced it with gender. So you're no longer gay or a lesbian, you are same gender loving. But what is gender? So these are the new terms to erase gay people and have everyone be trans now. Because you are no longer gay, you are attracted to masculinity. And you are no longer a lesbian, you are just attracted to femininity. But why would they do this? Because it validates men. It validates men. Because it validates men who identify as women who claim that they're lesbians. It validates their identity. How far can they actually take this? Like, this is why the LGB needs to be separated from the T. Because on one side, you have an orientation, and on the other side, you have mental illness. Yeah, you heard me right. I said what I said."
She is absolutely 100% right. And I believe that from the very beginning of this. I thought the LGB, queer, I don't know. But whatever minus the T. Trans is gender. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, asexual, pansexual, all that. That's sexual preference. That's sexual identity. That's not gender. And see, that's why they realize the majority of this country is accepting gay and lesbian people. and bringing them into the fold, basically, you know, without restriction. But the trans community is still has a lot of people that are pushing back against that. Why is that? Because most people have done their research like I have. And most people that are declaring themselves transsexual now, or of the trans community, are really, seriously, and I don't mean offense by this, but I'm going to say it anyway, you're mentally ill. There is a major social contagion going on in social media. And another thing, another time I was watching another reel Becky was doing, I was an interview with someone and they were talking about how, you know, how can she be so against that? And she discovered that the, what is it, 4 out of 5, I think, it might have been 9 out of 10, but I think it was 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 people that identify as trans are on the autism spectrum. So imagine an adult so evil, and yes, I'm going to use that word again. I don't think we need to sugarcoat this. We have adults so evil, they are taking advantage of autistic and mentally ill children for their own satisfaction and gratification. Parents that are letting their children identify as another sex, and then raising them like that, you're groomers. That's all you are. You're grooming your children. And by grooming, meaning raising them without morals, without standards, so that the society can influence them however it wishes, so that they will be Bolsheviks for life. All of this just comes together in a way that just scares the daylights out of me in what is happening to children. My friends who are parents, and anyone listening to me, anyone within the sound of my voice that is a parent, watch your children. Don't be helicopter parents and watch and pay attention to everything they do, but definitely make sure you check out their history on social media, what they're looking at. So you are prepared when a child comes to you with a very awkward question. You can come back to them with a very honest, straightforward answer that will explain to them that what they're seeing is just playtime. What they're seeing is made up. What they're seeing is a performance that someone has put on social media to make money. When you have like Dylan Mulvaney and, oh my gosh, Jeffrey Marsh, I think is one of the most evil men on the social media. When you have those people putting on these fancy or these little costumes and dressing like little girls and bouncing around and buying things at the store and, you know, being like a 6-year-old little girl, that is a performance. That is not their identity. They're getting paid handsomely for that performance. And if Jeffrey Marsh is releasing videos on how to not trust your parents, and he's doing that on purpose, and he's saying, I will be your parent. I will take care of you. Your parents don't care about you. And he speaks in that kind of tone too. If you go watch one video or two, just to get an idea of how evil this person really is. He'll soft talk your children into adopting this mental illness. And that is what it is. It is mental illness. Even the authentic gender dysphoria patients that have been identified with true gender dysphoria, it's a mental illness that is treated with therapy. Only therapy. Let me repeat that. It is treated, gender dysphoria, when discovered at a young age and the children don't grow out of it, it is treated only with therapy. It is this social contagion that is treated like reality. It is these teenage girls that go and have a 30 or 90 minute session, one single therapy session with an evil therapist. And then that therapist recommends that they go through their change to identify as another gender. Start the puberty blockers and start the hormones, whether it be estrogen or testosterone. Well, guess what? We now know that transgender treatments, these puberty blockers and high doses of hormones, well, the French decided to do some research. And I found this on PragerU. The French have discovered the practice of sexually transitioning children will be remembered as one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine. This is a report commissioned by French senators. A landmark report produced at the behest of the center-right Les Républicains, that's my French accent, in the French Senate, found that the medical industry embarked upon the practice of giving children life-altering transgender treatments with little evidence of its effectiveness while ignoring the side effects. The report found that while parents were often pressured by doctors to put their children on puberty blocker drugs to prevent suicide, there is little proof that this course of action has any better outcomes for the child. The head of the plastic surgery department of the Georges Pompidou Hospital in Paris, Laurent Lantieri, told the report that there was no evidence that sex changes for children improved their quality of life because there are obviously no randomized trials. And here's the most important paragraph. Meanwhile, there was a prevalence of depression and other mental illnesses among children seeking to change their gender. The report found that 70% of those seeking gender reassignment had anxiety depressive disorder, and 30% had previously suffered from some form of trauma, typically sexual abuse. Most disturbingly, 30% of children seeking to change their gender were found to have been autistic, although they were often undiagnosed. So it completes with this. The report argued that much of the rise in gender transitioning has been a byproduct of it becoming fashionable on social media and elsewhere, noting that hospital stays for transgender purposes increased threefold. That's 300 times, for those of you who don't know. From 2011 to 2020 in France, from 536 cases in 2011 to 1,615 in 2020, while just four surgeons in France were performing vaginoplasties in 2022, there are at least now 30. So now what do you think, parents? We now have medical studies that say these are dangerous for children and that most of the children who want to identify as a different sex are actually autistic and on that spectrum. And when a doctor or medic or a teacher or administrator or someone else who's trying to subvert the parents' influence on these children, they're telling the parents, they're trying to scare them by saying, if we don't get your child on puberty blockers immediately, they will commit suicide. So do you want your child to live or not? That is the evil that is being used to indoctrinate, demoralize, and desensitize your children. Now, I know I got a little riled up on this one because this one really upsets me. I don't have any children of my own, Okay, I have nieces and nephews, and I have friends' kids that consider me their dad or stepdad or uncle or whatever. But I'm telling you, my friends, I'm very, very concerned for your children because I know how susceptible, how teachable, how impressionable young children are. They want to be loved and accepted, and they will do anything for that love and acceptance. And when you have parents that horrifically are sexually abusing their children when they're young, that's horrific. But you have parents today that are doing, I think, equally evil to their children. And that is going along with their gender transition. When you really should recognize and take your children to therapists to get the real help they need. The help that's going to allow them to lead productive and normal lives. Those that are changing their identities and becoming something else, that's all they're going to focus on the rest of their life. They won't focus on having a normal life. Everything will be about their new gender. And they will become so hypersensitive. They will be one of these ones that screams and yells at someone for calling them by their dead name, for horribly misgendering them. I am a ma'am, said by a 6'4", 280-pound man in a dress. I'm a man. This is mental illness, and it has to stop, because this is a tool of Satan. This is a tool of the devil. To demoralize and desensitize and sexualize children. And it has to stop. All right. Sorry for that. I had to go off on that tangent, or I had to spend that much time on that topic because I believe it's that important. Share this video or share this podcast with everyone that you know is facing this issue. We have to stop this evil. And we are going to get to the point where we have people so uneducated and so hypersensitive, they will be paralyzed. They won't be able to do anything with their life. And that's what I'm trying to prevent. I want children to grow up and be productive and vigorous and energetic contributors to society. I do not want to grow up in a society that focuses on gender and race and everything else that does not matter. None of that matters. What matters is truth and love and compassion and motivation and inspiration. Those things really matter. Family, friendships, families, friends, pillars of strength. Those are what we should be focusing on strengthening in our country. I promise you, if our founding fathers were alive today, they would be in shock at how far down the path to hell we have gone. And sadly, it is one party that is promoting this more than the other, because that party wants power. And they will do anything, including demoralizing and destroying your children to do it. All right, let's move on to one other thing that's not as deep, but it's pretty serious. And that is when someone labels you something, sometimes they might not even know what it really means. But they've been told by the media and social media and watching other people in debates use these words, and so they use them. Words like fascist. Listen to this woman who has no idea what fascism really means.
I know he's not a fascist, but it's more just of getting the community together to just go against a lot of people said he's not actually a fascist. So then why call him a fascist?
Well, I don't know the exact definition of a fascist, so I don't know if he is or isn't a fascist.
So you have these children are being so influenced by social media and other people who are screaming and yelling these labels. They're screaming and yelling, not even knowing what it means. Let me read to you something that was written back in the 1940s talking about the communist technique of why you call other people fascists. Listen to this.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, "When certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind."
The most important thing, what he said, is the very end. When you repeat it enough times, people will believe it. News stations like CNN, MSNBC, all those, that's why they repeatedly tell you that Trump's a fascist, he's a racist, he's a misogynist. You know, they repeatedly say that over and over and over again because they know this doctrine. They know this communist doctrine that if you repeat something enough times, people will believe it. So we have so many people in this country that believe that if you disagree with them, you're a fascist. Or if you are disagree, if you're a white person, you're disagreeing with a black person, you're a racist. Or if you're a straight person that disagrees with a gay person, you're a homophobe. Or if you're a Christian disagreeing with someone from Islam, you're Islamophobe. See, these labels were created by the Communist Party to try and shut down anyone who opposes them. All right, this last week we had a really spectacular event in the United States. We had the full eclipse, the solar eclipse happened over parts of our country, and it was very exciting to watch. I had friends that were right in the path of totality and took some spectacular corona shots when that moon completely covered. By the way, do you want to talk about interesting facts? Did you know that the sun is exactly 400 times the size of the moon? Did you know that the sun is exactly 400 times distance from the Earth, or that the moon is from Earth? That is why the moon perfectly covers the sun in a full eclipse. And that is why our sun and our moon look like they are the same size in the day and night skies. Still think it wasn't all created? What are the odds of those numbers being exact? I'd say very low. Now, we have members of Congress that are trying to explain what you're going to see. This is Sheila Jackson Lee explaining her idea of what the eclipse is all about. Listen to this.
Have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? The gas is such that we could do that. The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
I swear to you, there are members of Congress that I think are competing for the stupidest members in our government. Sheila Jackson Lee wants you to know that the moon, especially when it's full, is mostly gases. And that's why we can go live on it. Because it's mostly gases. And that's how we'll be able to return to live on it, because, you know, the gas there. What do you do? I mean, her and Hank Johnson, remember Hank Johnson? He was the one that said that he was concerned because, you know, the United States was considering putting like 8,000 troops on the Isle of Guam. And his concern was, you know, wouldn't that make it tip over? Wouldn't that make it capsize? The guy being interviewed was very cool, calm, and collected, because I would have gone, what? You think Guam is floating? Oh, my gosh. So, yes, there are members of Congress. And that was the lovely Sheila Jackson Lee, ladies and gentlemen, explaining why we have eclipses. If you can make any sense of it, write me, drew@thewatchdogsbark.com. All right, I'm going to end on a positive note, as I always like to do. I know this was a very serious episode, and I needed to end on a very high positive note. This is one of the best speeches I've ever heard. This is by Admiral McRaven at the University of Texas at Austin at 2014 commencement address. Listen to what he said about changing your life starting today. Listen to this.
If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. To pass SEAL training, there are a series of long swims that must be completed. One is the night swim. Before the swim, the instructors joyfully brief the students on all the species of sharks that inhabit the waters off San Clemente. They assure you, however, that no student has ever been eaten by a shark, at least not that they can remember. But you are also taught that if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Do not swim away. Do not act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts towards you, then summons up all your strength and punch him in the snout, and he will turn and swim away. There are a lot of sharks in the world. If you hope to complete the swim, you will have to deal with them. So if you want to change the world, don't back down from the sharks. Over a few weeks of difficult training, my SEAL class, which started with 150 men, was down to just 42. There were now 6 boat crews of 7 men each. I was in the boat with the tall guys, but the best boat crew we had was made up of the little guys, the Munchkin crew, we called them. No one was over 5'5". The Munchkin boat crew had 1 American Indian, 1 African American, 1 Polish American, 1 Greek American, 1 Italian American, and 2 tough kids from the Midwest. They out-paddled, outran, and outswam all the other boat crews. The big men in the other boat crews would always make good-natured fun of the tiny little flippers the Munchkins put on their tiny little feet prior to every swim. But somehow these little guys from every corner of the nation and the world always have the last laugh, swimming faster than everyone and reaching the shore long before the rest of us. SEAL training was a great equalizer. Nothing mattered but your will to succeed, not your color, not your ethnic background, not your education, not your social status. If you want to change the world, measure a person by the size of their heart, not by the size of their flippers. The 9th week of training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and 1 special day at the mud flats. The mud flats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off and creates the Tijuana sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the mud flats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive this freezing cold, the howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. The instructors told us we could leave the mud if only five men would quit. Only five men, just five men, and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. It was still over 8 hours till the sun came up. Eight more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and the shivering moans of the trainees were so loud, it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became two, and two became three, and before long, everyone in the class was singing. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept up the singing, but the singing persisted, and somehow the mud seemed a little warmer, and the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope. The power of one person, a Washington, a Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan, Malala. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start each day with a task completed. Find someone to help you through life. Respect everyone. Know that life is not fair and that you will fail often. But if you take some risks, step up when the times are the toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up. If you do these things, the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world far better than the one we have today. And what started here will indeed have changed the world for the better.
That still remains one of my all-time favorite speeches to listen to. I think I've listened to that probably 20 times. It's just inspiring, and it all starts with a simple task of making your bed in the morning. And you heard the laughter, ha ha ha, but he is absolutely right. It's the small, simple steps, the tiny steps moving forward that will bring the biggest results. And remember when he pointed out that the smallest team, the midgets, they called him, were the ones that did more than anyone else because they had more to prove. It doesn't matter your external features. It doesn't matter your height. It doesn't matter your weight. It doesn't matter your skin color or sexuality. None of that matters. What matters is your heart. You need to have the heart of a lion. And you need to not ever give up, no matter how hard. Can you imagine spending 15 hours in ice cold mud in the middle of the night, the entire night? And instructors are yelling at you, if only five quit, it's all over. If only five quit. They do everything they can to make you quit. Life will throw everything it can at you to make you quit. Don't ever give up. Listen to this speech over and over again, and I promise it'll change your life. Thank you again for listening to my podcast. If you agree or disagree with anything I've said, please don't hesitate to write me, drew@thewatchdogsbark.com. And until next time, create an amazing day, starting off by making your bed. And please help me relay the bark.